We are our own best teachers. This is a thought for today from Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. We are our own best teachers. We could also add on that we are our own worst teachers. We teach ourselves to feel sorry for ourselves. We teach ourselves not to pay attention to the rules. We teach ourselves to do all these silly things. And then we think, gee, that's interesting. Why does everything go wrong in my life? And then when we start teaching ourselves to be fine and beautiful and follow the program and do all the things that are good for us, everything falls into place and everything is harmonious and everything is beautiful. We always are our own best teachers. In fact, we are our only teacher. Anyone may encourage us to look within, but we have to look within. Anyone can encourage us to find the truth within ourselves, but we have to do the looking within and finding the truth within ourselves. What is it we have said about learning and knowledge and awareness? Learning, knowledge, and awareness are all revealing from within what we are. Nothing new. Nothing new at all. Just revealing from within what we are. I've been dealing with a few people lately who have felt that they were badly treated by the world. And so they were defending themselves constantly defending themselves whenever a comment was made about them. They defended themselves. Instead of just saying, oh, okay, I'll do that, or oh, okay, but I didn't do that, or I meant to do the other thing, or why are you picking on me, and why is this going that way? I always do the right thing. Why are you saying that to me? And you see, when we do that to ourselves, we're not learning the lesson. The lesson is so, and then go on. So, and then go on. Let the past be past. I said, you did something wrong. And, oh, well, I didn't, I was doing this here. Say, okay, I'll check it, I'll change it, or I'll do whatever I do. But whenever we defend anything that we've done, we are merely saying we are not going to pay any attention to what is being suggested. We're not going to pay any attention to changing the program or changing ourselves or changing our life or changing anything. We're just going to keep right on doing whatever we want to do, because we think that really what we were doing was right. Well, that makes you a very hard person to be around. That makes you a very, very tough person to be around, because you're always defending yourself. And can you imagine what a little child would be like if you said, you're a naughty boy, you shouldn't do that. And the little boy says, I'm going to do it anyhow. The parent would probably get very upset with the child and give him a spanking or something like that. But the minute the child says, okay, thank you, Mommy, I'll change. Thank you, Mommy, I'll remember next time. And then he forgets. But then he says, I'll remember next time. The very fact that he says, I'll remember next time, if you keep working with him, it'll work. Now, I'm training Rex, my golden retriever, who is a fast learner, how to do the simple thing of sit. When I say sit, if I have a cookie in my hand, he sits immediately. If I stop, after a while, he'll sit. If I grab his hind paw and pull it forward, he sits. If I hold a cookie up over his head, he falls over backwards and sits, you know. But he hasn't learned to sit when I say sit. At every single time I say sit. Well, now, he tries, I think. And so I keep working with him. But I know that if I persist with him and I say sit, 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 sit. Today, as I walked the morning path with him, I said sit to him at least 50 times, maybe 100 times. And once in a while he sat, but most of the time he didn't. He just stood there acting like he didn't know anything about what I was saying. Now, I have to get him past that hump of not knowing anything about what I'm saying. I have to get him past that idea of rebellion. If I say to him, come and I have a cookie, wow, he comes. If I say, sit and have a cookie, wow, he sits. If I do anything else, you know. But the thing is, he has a mind of his own. He has a decision of his own. And he has to get over that. He has to get over that because he must sit when I ask him to sit. Because if he does not sit when I ask him to sit, we'll just have to put him to sleep. Because he is not welcome in anybody's home if he will not sit when he's told to sit. He is not welcome in anybody's presence if he jumps all over them every time and doesn't sit when he's told to sit. I mean, especially as a big dog as he is. Even little dogs are a pain in the neck when they jump all over you and they won't sit when they're told. But most little dogs aren't even taught to sit. The people who have little dogs, they just say, isn't that cute, you know. But when you have a big dog, you have to make sure. Well, now, when you have a human being, you have to make sure even more that they cooperate when the programmer says sit, when the programmer says stand, when the program says anything, you cooperate. Now, when you don't cooperate with it, you are not a very sociable person. You are not a mannerly person. You are not a person that it's nice to have around because you're always fighting. Now, if you don't like the program that establishes sit when I say sit, and lay down when I say lay down, and come when I say come, if the dog would not go along with that program at all, he's not the kind of dog that you want in your world. And simple little commands, but he's not the dog you want in your world. Because if you have a dog in your world who will not do things as you ask him to do it, he could run into the street and get killed. And he might as well get killed early than later. Just put him to sleep. Now, whose fault is it that the puppy doesn't learn? It's his master's fault. Because his master doesn't take the time that it's necessary to take to train him. Doesn't take the time that it's necessary to take to teach him the good rules of conduct and where to do his duty and things like that. Now, the dog has a master. But the dog learns. The dog says, I like being here, and it's worthwhile for me to be here to cooperate with those programs, with the rules, okay? Now, what about we as human beings? We are on planet Earth, and our natural thing is to run around naked. If we were as kids, if we could run around naked all the time, we'd be happy as can be. But we're taught that we have to wear clothes in public, and that's the thing that you do. And if you don't like that, then you're not going to be a happy camper. You're not going to be. You have to make the decision. See, you got to teach yourself that that's the right thing to do. Now, when you're playing with your friends and you have your toys and they have their toys and they want your toys, and how are you going to handle that? Are you going to work together as a harmonious group saying, sure, I'll play with your toy and you can play with my toy? You know? But make sure that it's my toy and it's your toy, because when I go home, I won't take my toy with me. Now, maybe you are such a generous and a fantastic person, you can say, okay, I'll see you. And your friend says, can I keep your toy? And you say, sure. And then he says, okay, give me my toy. So he takes his toy and your toy and goes home. And you think to yourself, that's interesting. But you don't care. You see, you're like Button. Button is our little mini schnauzer. And if Little Love comes and eats Button's food out of his bowl, Button just stands back and says, okay, I'll get mine later. Now, Button may be changing because Button's master or mistress is changing. When I was there as his master, I didn't care. And I said, yeah, okay, we'll give it to you later. But when his mistress is there now, she's saying, you know, don't eat his food, don't do this, don't do that, don't take it, don't, you see, and with that negative attitude there, they don't know how to do it. Now, what would you do if you had two dogs and you had two bowls of food? You put both dogs out together, and you put the two bowls of food together, and then you let them eat, and you let them eat together. And if one tries to eat the other's food, then that's just fine. You tell the one, no, that's not right, that's enough, no. But you see, if you don't teach your dog no, he doesn't know no. If you don't teach yourself no, you don't know no. If you are always defending yourself, trying to prove that you're right, then you haven't learned what difference does it make? It doesn't matter. Be yourself and have fun. Let go of always having to prove that you're a good person. Because when you're always proving you're a good person, you're a pain in the neck to yourself and to everybody else. A dog who always goes after the other dog's food is being a pain in the neck. So how do you train a dog? You train him and just say no. This is what I did when I had them. I just trained them no. And I'd stand right there and they would be just, I didn't say they were bad or doing something wrong, just no. And the word no means stop. And the word yes means go. And so they learned those things, but then again, they started having a different training program. You see, when you have different trainers along the way, then the program is different, and they learn different, and some things they forget, and some things they don't. Now, as a human being, we can have many trainers, but we know what is right, and we know what is wrong, we know what we want to accomplish, and so thereby, we cooperate with the trainers. We have trainers who will teach us how to keep house, like our parents. We have trainers who will tell us how to mow the lawn, like our dads. We have trainers who tell us how to shovel the sidewalk when the snow is there. We have trainers in school who teach us. We have trainers in our athletics who train us in doing good things in sports. And what do the trainers train us in sports? What's one of the first things they train us in? Teamwork, in working together, in harmonizing our efforts so that we get a unified result at the end. Well, we are our own best teachers. And what we teach ourselves is that when we have chosen a program for our life of what we want to do, then we follow that program. When we have chosen a path we want to walk, then we follow that path. And when we are chastised for doing something improper along that path, we don't take it to heart and say, oh my God, my world's coming to an end, I'm terrible. We just say, okay, I'll do better next time. Okay. And then, the hardest test of all comes. The hardest test of all. And I will conclude our thought for today with this test. The hardest test of all comes when we didn't do it and we're blamed for doing it. Can we not try to defend ourselves? Can we just stand back and say, okay, whatever you say, and then go on with our life? Can we? That's the hardest test of all. And you are your own best teacher. And as you teach yourself not to be touched by what goes on in the world, Richard Bach in Illusion said something like that too. He said, act as though you are right, even though the whole world might disagree with you. If you're right, then you just say, okay, and go on, and you don't fight it, because that too is part of being your own best teacher. That too is part of being the master of yourself. Are you your own best teacher? I think you are. Do you want to be your own best teacher? I'd like to think you would. How soon are you going to give up the foolish ways of defending yourself on your growing path? Just be yourself and have fun. Follow the rules. And if somebody challenges you on your rule, say, Ellen?
Yes?
If someone challenges you on the rule, what do you say? You, you agree?
With your adversary.
Schnell, yeah, very quickly. You agree with your adversary, okay, I'll do it better next time. And if we can learn that, we're wonderful. If we can't learn that, we've got a problem. I love you. I love you. I love you.